Hey Sandra, wir haben uns ja lange nicht mehr gesehen.
Grüß dich, Nadine. Mensch, du siehst ja toll aus.
Ja, danke. Ich habe mein plus-ris gesündere Ich entdeckt.
Was?
Komm, ich zeig's dir.
Die Bewegungskurse der AOK Plus. Kostenfrei für AOK Plus Versicherte. Entdecke dein Plus fürs gesündere Ich und starte mit unserem Self-Check. Ganz einfach online auf aok.de. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit. AOK Plus.
Hey Spotifyers, Damson Idris here to celebrate Tommy Hilfiger's Apex GP Collection.
Angetrieben vom Nervenkitzel der Geschwindigkeit und der Kraft des außergewöhnlichen Styles vereint die Capture Collection von Tommy Hilfiger performanceorientiertes Design mit grenzenlosem Selbstbewusstsein. Das ist mehr als nur ein Look. Es ist die Uniform für alle, die ihre Träume verwirklichen wollen.
Discover Tommy Hilfiger's Limited Edition Apex GP Collection, inspired by F1 the Movie, only in cinemas June 25th.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I offer an analysis of the controversy involving Darman? First, I'll look at the background of Darman, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Darman was born on May 29, 1984, and grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. His parents owned businesses in Oakland, California. One involved real estate and another taxicabs. They were quite wealthy. Starting at the age of 19, Darman had various companies, including a real estate company. Many of his companies failed. Darman started a company in January of 2010 called WeGrow. This business sold hydroponics equipment for growing cannabis. The company closed in 2011. Darman was accused of running a scheme by his business partner. Lawsuits were filed between them, but the case eventually settled. In 2008 and 2009, Darman defrauded a beautification program for the city of Oakland. His real estate company had some type of contract with the city. The company was called Man Edge Properties. It was an attempt to be clever because it sounds like the word manage. To be fair, some management was involved. Darman managed to take grant money from the city of Oakland to pay his contractors and managed to put that money in his pocket. In 2012, Darman was charged with 13 felony counts of fraud for that activity that occurred in 2008 and 2009. The next year, the state reduced the number of charges to 5 felonies. Darman pleaded no contest and was sentenced to 5 years of probation. He was ordered to repay over $43,000 to the city. Several years later, Darman claimed that his convictions were expunged. This is certainly possible considering the expungement laws in California. In 2018, Darman started his own production company called Darman Studios, which produced videos that he uploaded on his YouTube channel. His early videos had a motivational theme to them, but over time, the content strategy shifted. Darman started producing poorly written morality plays and increased the production value. The videos appeared to be more expensive to make than many other videos featured on social media. For example, they used professional-looking sets and featured actors who were compensated financially. The characters in the videos would face various challenges related to misbehavior and learn from their experiences. The high production value was not enough to compensate for the many negative qualities of the videos. For example, the plots were obvious, predictable, and simplistic. The dialogue was highly detached from the human experience. It was unrealistic, forced, and unnatural. And the narratives were not compelling. The stories were agonizingly boring. The characters who committed offenses always lost, and the victims would experience revenge or vindication in every video. For some reason, which defies rational explanation, Darman's videos became wildly popular. He managed to attract a very young audience at an impressive rate. At the time making this video, Darman's channel has almost 18 million subscribers and has been viewed over 10 billion times. That's billion with a B, as in beyond belief. In 2022, Darman's channel averaged somewhere around 300 million views a month. So in 1 month, his channel was viewed more times than many large channels would be viewed in 5 years. Just to offer some context on how successful Darman has been, let's compare his performance to a few other well-known YouTube channels. The H3 podcast with Ethan Klein, a channel which showcases the dangers of combining no filter with no talent, is viewed about 20 million times a month. This is about 6.5% of Darman's views. David Dobrik, a channel which inadvertently showcases how an influencer can destroy their career by repeatedly making avoidable errors in judgment, is viewed about 7 million times a month, just over 2% of the views of Darman, despite David Dobrik having more subscribers. And Jake Paul, a channel about an influencer who decided to become a boxer because he was not damaging his brain fast enough, receives about 10 million views a month, despite having over 2 million more subscribers. As I mentioned, the plots involved in Darman's videos always involve some type of perceived bad act and the wrongdoer being exposed and punished. Here are a few of his recent video titles which capture the essence of this nonsensical plot device. Evil nanny kidnaps kid for ransom, waiter won't serve poor-looking man, and evil nun kicks out bad teen. Darman also likes titles that contain the words shocking and regret, which coincidentally are two emotions that his audience will experience when watching his videos. A few examples of video titles with these words: busy mom puts boss over kids, she lives to regret it. Babysitter loses kid at the park, what happens next is shocking. And mean girls shame retail worker, they live to regret it. I find it interesting that so many video titles include the word shocking, because outside of Darman's shockingly low level of insight, there's nothing even remotely surprising about any of his videos. They are 100% spoiler-proof. Everyone knows how they're going to end. Now moving to the timeline of the incident.
In January of 2008, real estate agent Lindsay Buziak received a call from a woman who said that she and her husband were urgently seeking a home with a budget of $1 million. Eager for the commission a deal like this would bring, Lindsay found the perfect home and set up a showing. Just 1 hour after the showing, Buziak's colleagues found her lying in a pool of blood in the master bedroom with multiple stab wounds. To this day, the case remains unsolved. I'm Savannah Breimer, host of the true crime podcast Killer Instinct, the research-backed show that covers cases like Lindsay's and aims to bring justice to the families of victims of horrific crimes. Each month, I explore a new sector of true crime, from serial killers to stalkers to female killers. For each case, I break down the moments leading up to the crime, debunk past theories, and share the experiences of those affected by these tragedies. Join me every Wednesday as I unveil the truth behind some of the darkest cases in history. Listen and subscribe to Killer Instinct wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Alicia.
And I'm Stacy.
And we make Trashy Divorces, everybody's favorite good podcast about bad relationships.
Looking for something true crimey without the gore or the body count?
We've been churning out funny, feisty, feminist episodes since 2019. So if you're looking to put some scandalous stories told well into your ears this summer, check out Trashy Divorces wherever you listen to podcasts.
Trust us, we've covered someone you love.
Or someone you love to hate.
In early 2023, several actors who worked for Darman Studios started protesting about the way they were being treated. The actors went on strike and set up a picket line in front of the production company. They have made several complaints about Darman. For example, they are saying that he has treated them unfairly, they get low pay, the company is not listening to their complaints, and the company has fired actors who have complained in the past. The actors claim that they attempted to arrange a meeting with Darman. The meeting kept getting postponed, but when it finally happened, Darman was not there. They were told later that he would never meet them. They were welcome to forward any complaints to human resources. The actors said that they are contractors, which of course means that interacting with HR seems a little bit strange. HR departments typically center around employee relations, although technically the production company can order HR to fulfill any role. Darman released a statement in response to the controversy. Here is a summary. Darman's company arranged an in-person meeting with actor representatives, but they refused to communicate concerns and walked out of the meeting. He defended the pay structure at his company, saying that extras get $18 an hour, and actors with speaking roles are paid between $33 and $44 an hour. His company offers project-based opportunities, and the jobs can last from a few hours to a few days. They do not offer full-time positions. They want to create opportunities for a wide range of people. The actors are told how much they are going to make in an offer letter. They can take it or leave it. Darman admitted that they have stopped working with certain actors, but claimed it was due to complaints. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. As I mentioned, Darman has obtained incredible popularity for reasons that seem mysterious. Why has he been so successful? The videos that Darman produces are designed to appeal to a very young audience, individuals who have not developed critical thinking skills and are attracted to emotionally driven and simplistic content. The stories do not contain much variation as far as the plot is concerned. The characters and the settings may change, but every video is pretty much the same as far as the theme. It goes something like this. An individual does something socially unacceptable, like passing judgment, making assumptions, or being insensitive. The victim of this offense suffers as a result. In a twist of fate, the perpetrator suffers immediate consequences, and the victim is fully vindicated. Justice has been served. This repetitive and mind-numbing format may be repulsive to many adults, but it has a special appeal to younger audience members, sort of like the show about Barney the Dinosaur. Younger people like to see the same thing over and over, and they like shallow representations of morality. Every situation can be solved quickly and efficiently. The good guys are clearly good, and the bad guys are clearly bad. There is never a mystery, and there are no gray areas. The victim always gets satisfaction. This is a childlike representation of revenge. In addition to the strong appeal to young people, Darman's videos have attracted another group of people who appreciate them for an entirely different reason, which brings me to item number two. Sometimes video productions are so terrible that they are actually funny. Whenever this happens, a group of people will come together to make fun of the content. This is what happened with Darman. His sizable popularity has created an equally sizable group of influencers who are dedicated to pointing out the shortcomings of his videos. Essentially, they produce critiques of his videos where they highlight how predictable and ridiculous the content is. This viewing behavior has the unintentional consequence of expanding Darman's popularity. He's literally becoming popular for creating videos with creepy, disjointed, and revolting dialogue. In this sense, Darman could be considered a genius. He has managed to build an audience on both sides of his content. The side that is essentially mesmerized by its tedious and repetitive nature, and the side that wants to laugh at those same characteristics. Item number three, what's going on with the controversy surrounding the actors who worked for Darman Studios? This is just a theory, my opinion. Darman has been able to get away with paying his actors on a contract basis due to the law of supply and demand. His pay of $33 to $44 an hour is actually about right for the types of videos his company is making. If the actors quit, Darman can replace them in a second. A few of the actors do a good job in his videos, but many of them struggle as far as talent. His company tends to attract actors with minimal talent and those desperate to be in the entertainment industry. There are a few good actors who work for Darman Studios, but even these actors run into difficulties when filming the videos. I think part of the problem is that the dialogue is so terribly written, it's hard for the actors to connect with something that nonsensical and detached from what humans would actually do in similar situations. Darman's content drags everyone down. It can make a good actor look bad. I don't think that Darman has much to worry about as far as finding new actors, but a larger problem would be his image, which brings me to item number 4. Darman has spent years promoting a basic and definitive view of solving ethical situations. Under the theory promoted in his videos, injustices can be directly confronted, and the solution will be rapid, complete, and satisfying. This is simply not how real life works. Now, with this actor controversy, Darman's ludicrous conceptualization has turned on him. He is now the villain in this story, at least according to a few of his actors. I find this particularly interesting because, in a way, the actors are proving that Darman's understanding of the world is deeply flawed. If he has done something wrong, he will not be held accountable, he will not be exposed, and he will not experience justice. Darman will get away with it, and thereby prove that his central message is nonsensical. His theory about justice cannot be applied to the real world. It is inaccurate and misleading. If this whole situation was made into a video, Darman probably would have worded it something like, "Evil video producer is unfair to actors. He instantly regrets it." In reality, a better title would be, "Video producer with no empathy is unfair to actors," and nothing happens after this. Item number 5. It was just a matter of time before somebody as sanctimonious as Darman ran into a major public image problem. Therefore, his situation is not surprising. What is unexpected, however, is his reaction. Darman could have simply met with his actors and probably avoided this entire incident, but he did not have the required common sense and empathy to do that. This is one of the problems with not having any insight. Darman is not able to see himself as others see him. This lack of insight may help him to create the immature content that led to his success, but it will not help him to maintain a good public image. Darman has risked his financial future and what's left of his reputation to avoid speaking to a few actors. The meeting probably would have taken no more than a few hours. Darman has disproven his own understanding of the world. In a sense, he has left the world with a video title that encompasses his contribution to society. Overrated video producer convinces large audience to adopt an unrealistic view of morality. They eventually regret it.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.